Lone couple travel 85 miles to attend a Roman census. Joseph walks while his wife Mary, 9 months pregnant, rides side saddle on a donkey, feeling every jolt, every rut, every rock along the dry, dusty road, mile after mile. By the time they arrive at their destination, the small village of Bethlehem is already swollen from an influx of travelers. Every inn, every spare room is taken. People feeling lucky if they're able to negotiate even a small space on the floor somewhere. And now it's late. Everyone's asleep. There's no more room left. But fortunately, one householder, who's not all shekels and mites, takes pity. True, their cattle shed is already crowded with guests, with animals from the guests. But if the couple could squeeze out a little privacy, it's there for the taking, for the night at least. Joseph looks over at Mary. Seeing her attention is focused on dealing with her ever-increasing contractions, without hesitation, he looks back at the householder and says, "Yep, we'll have it." The night is still. As Joseph creaks open the door of the cattle shed, as he does, a number of animals moan and grunt discontentedly at the intrusion. The stench is pungent and the air is humid. There's hardly been enough hours in the day to attend to the guests, never mind their animals as well. Joseph's first priority after settling Mary best he can is to position the small oil lamp lent to them in readiness for the long evening ahead. The couple's shadows make a merry dance from its flicker, as if expectant of what's about to take place amid this humble setting, a disquieting place for a woman in the throes of childbirth, far from home, far from family, far from what she had hoped for her firstborn. But Mary makes no complaint. It's a relief just to finally stop moving and get down from that donkey. As she tries her best to get comfortable, her feet swollen, her back aching, the contractions are growing stronger and closer together. Joseph's eyes begin to dart around the darkened cattle shed. Not a minute to lose. Spotting a feeding trough, he quickly thinks, "Yes, yes, that would do for a crib. He would do nicely as bedding. Blankets. Oh, my robe, that'll do fine." Suddenly, a gripping contraction turns Mary double and sends Joseph racing for a bucket of water, not that he's entirely sure what's that for. This birth would not be easy, either for the mother or for the child. For every royal privilege for this son ended at conception. A scream from Mary cuts through the silent night. Joseph, breathless, water sloshing from the wooden bucket, returns to find the baby's head already pushing its way into the world. Sweat pours from Mary's contorted face as Joseph, the most unlikely midwife in all of Judea, rushes to her side. The involuntary contractions are not enough, and Mary has to push with all her might, almost as if God was refusing to come into the world without her help. Joseph places his robe beneath her, and with a final push and a long sigh, the labor is over. The Messiah has arrived. with elongated head, pale skin as the pigment would take hours to surface, with mucus in his ears and nostrils, still wet and slippery, the Son of the Most High God is seen umbilically joined to a lonely Jewish girl. And as the baby chokes and coughs, Joseph instinctively turns him over to clear his throat. Then he cries. A cry of pure innocence, the like of which the world has never known and will never know again. Mary reaches for her shivering baby. Bearing her breast, she lays him on her chest. His helpless cries subside. His tiny head bobs around on the unfamiliar terrain. Mary can feel his racing heartbeat as he gropes to nurse. Look. Look closely. Can you see? Deity nursing from a young maiden's breast. Could anything be more puzzling? Could anything be more profound? Joseph sits, exhausted, silent, and in sheer awe. Very quickly, the baby finishes his first feed and sighs. The divine word reduced to a few unintelligible sounds. And then for the first time his eyes fix on his mother. Look. Look again. Can you see? Deity straining to focus. The light of the world squinting. Tears flood Mary's eyes as she takes hold of her tiny hand, as she takes hold of his tiny hand. Hands that once crafted mountains and flung stars into space now cling as if for survival to her finger. Mary looks at Joseph, and through a watery veil their souls touch. He moves closer to his dearest soulmate, and there together they sit, staring in awe at their baby, Jesus. Jesus, whose heavy eyelids are now slowly closing. It's been a long journey, and the King is tired. And so, with barely a ripple of notice, without protocol or pretension, God stepped into the cold, dark world of humanity. Where we might have expected some great cosmic event witnessed by the nations of the world, here we find nothing more than a few lazy donkeys, some nervous cattle, and quite possibly a tethered camel or two. Oh, make no mistake, there were angels. There they were announcing the Saviour's arrival, but to a band of blue-collar workers, shepherds. There would even be movement in the heavens at this arrival, as a magnificent star rose in the eastern sky. But only to be seen and understood by a very small number of foreigners, astrologers, who were bothered to look out for such things and seek out the meaning. Thus, in the little town of Bethlehem, that one silent night, in a lonely cattle shed. The royal birth of God's only son tiptoed quietly by as the world slept. Little did the world know, the one who had just been delivered had come to deliver them, had come to deliver us.